So I'd like to share with you really a summarizing, if you would, what we just heard. Christmas forever. Amen. And you probably go, I hope you don't, after you heard that, the narration and the song, you don't go, what does that mean? But I remember as a kid, if somebody told me Christmas forever, I would have been saying amen. All right. You know what I mean. What kid hasn't wished? I bet every kid at some point has said, I wish it could be Christmas every day. Well, today we heard Christmas forever. Amen. You probably heard me a couple times, even this morning, this evening. I accidentally said Christ forever. Amen. Well, isn't that essentially what it is? It is a celebration of Christ, our Savior. I want to read out of Colossians chapter number 1. Not your normal Christmas message, not a normal one you would necessarily go to, but I want to read about who is Christ in Colossians chapter number 1, and I read beginning in verse 15, just three verses. And God's word says this: He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. If you'd allow me, I just want to speak on this for a minute. We learned this evening what it means to say Christmas forever, amen. Jesus, he was more than just a good man. He was more than just a prophet or a teacher. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is God himself. He is the second person of the Trinity. Jesus Christ, he is undiminished deity. He is perfect humanity, all united in one person forever. Our verses tonight speak a little bit about this. You see, when Paul was writing in when Paul was writing to the church of Colossae, he was writing this book. He was writing to a people dealing with an issue that you've probably heard many times. It's actually several books in the Bible that deal with it. He was dealing with a teaching called Gnosticism. And Gnosticism, or Gnostics, was a heresy that entered the church, and it meant knowledge. They believed that they had an extra knowledge. They were the intellectual ones, is another way to define it. These Gnostics, they were not satisfied with simple truths of Christianity, and so they developed a method. It said a philosophy of salvation. It combined different religions, Greek philosophy, Jewish legalism, and Oriental mysticism, all of those combined with Christianity. For the Gnostics, Jesus was no more than just one of many angels. He was just like the angels. He was created. He was a bridge between God and all of creation. He was not God, in other words. But Paul, in these verses, he began in verses 3 through 14 with a prayer. His prayer and made reference to Christ and the redemption that was found in Christ. Then he stops his prayer in verses 15 through 17 here, and he really gets into a discussion on the work of Jesus Christ. And so several things we see here. In verse 15, it says, He is the image of the invisible God. You know, that's telling us that Christ lets us see and know who God is. When it says He is the image of the invisible God, it really represents two ideas. The first is representation. He is an idea, He is an image, or like a graving or an impression. Think of one of those coins you might have at home. And you get on, think of our dime, the 10-cent piece. There is an image of President Franklin Roosevelt on there. Now, you could look at it and you can see a picture and you would understand that that is a representation, that is a likeness of the president. It tells us in Hebrews 1:3, the sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful world. You see, Christ accurately represents for us who God is. When you see Christ, you see God. It tells us, we're told in John 14:19, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Not only does the word image there liken to representation, it's also manifestation. The concept of image indicates that Christ is an outward showing forth of God. Christ not only represents God, but Christ is the image of God. He always is, and everywhere you see Christ, you see God. Christ declares God to us. If you want to know what God is like in character, if you want to know what God is like, if you would meet him in person, if you want to know what he is like and how he treats people, you look to Jesus Christ. I've heard said before, you know, the God in the Old Testament, he's harsh. He's difficult. He judges. But Jesus in the New Testament, he's loving. He's merciful and he's gracious, friends. And Jesus is the exact image of God. Oh yes, God must judge because God is holy, but God is also loving and gracious. It says also in there that he is the firstborn of all creation. He is the firstborn, or he is sovereign over creation. The word firstborn there carries the idea not that Christ was created, but that he is priority. He is above all, not only in time, but he is prior to all created things. In John 1:3, it says, through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. You see, Christ existed long before creation. Okay, the logic here is, as the firstborn, Christ was prior to all things. He's eternally existed. He is not created. As a result, it means he is eternal, which is only a description of God. He is God himself. The word there, when it says firstborn of creation, not only is it priority, as in he is above all, he is before all, but he is also, it indicates honor or sovereignty. It tells us in Psalm 89:27, I will also appoint my firstborn the most exalted of the kings of the earth. He is greater than all, any human that has ever been here. What is the point? As the firstborn, as the sovereign of creation, he is over everything. Christ is always alive. He's always been here. He was not created. He was not created by anybody, but he is the creator. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is our Lord. He is Christ forever. Amen. Not only that, we see it continues on in verse 16 when it tells us, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority. Christ is the architect of the universe. He is the one who created everything. He is, yes, the firstborn of creation, but even more specifically, he exercised his sovereignty. He exercised that in creation. He created everything. He owns everything. Creation owes its unity. Creation owns its being held together. Creation, every person, everything, our very existence is a result of Jesus Christ. Everything was created in Christ. Well, whether it's in heaven or in space, and maybe it's visible in the world around us, or the invisible, the things we can't even see. Even the angelic realms were created in Christ. It tells us that thrones and powers and rulers and authorities, principalities, these are all created by Christ. And you see, the Gnostics had another problem. Not only did they have this prior knowledge, this extra knowledge, and believe that Jesus was created, they believed that there was evil in creation. They believed that Christ, being created, was no greater than the angels. But Paul is telling us that Christ, he's not one of the angels. He, in fact, is God. He is above them because he created them. And so we also see in verse 16, it says, all things were created through him and for him. Meaning that Christ, he is the object or the focus of creation. He is literally, it says, unto him. All of creation, all of the universe was for the glory of Christ. As we sang Christmas forever, amen, we are saying it is all about Jesus. It's all about him. You were created to glorify God. If you ever sit here and go, why am I here? What's the point of life? But what is my purpose? Guess what? You're not going to find it in this world. You're not going to find it watching TV. You're not going to find it in a career. You're not going to find it in a spouse or in children or a puppy. As much as we love these things, your true place is found in Christ alone. That's where your purpose is. You were created for Him. If you ever wonder, why are some people who go to church, why do they seem to have joy? Why do they seem to have peace? It's because they have found their purpose, and that is to bring Christ glory. He is the focus of all creation. In verse 17, it tells us that He is before all things, meaning that Christ existed before the entirety of universe. We already talked about it, but it's His pre-existence. He existed before anything was ever made. He existed before matter. He existed before people. In the Greek, this is a very intensive word, and it could have been translated, He Himself and no other is continually before all things, meaning He's eternal. Christ forever. Amen. And then 17 ends this way, and in Him all things hold together. He is the one who holds it all together. He is the one who sustains you. He is the one who provides for you. He is the one to keep this world from disintegrating. He is the one for eternity. When He has promised, He says, in God's word, we are promised that those who believe in Jesus Christ have eternal life. That is a guarantee for the one who holds all things together. It is a guarantee. What a significant Creator. Apart from Him, we would be lost. Apart from Jesus, we would be nothing. Everything would be gone. In these three verses, Paul declares Christ is the beginning of creation. Christ is the end of creation. And by His power, He holds all things together. He is the Creator, the Sustainer. He is the final goal of the world. Paul is declaring Christ forever. Amen. What does this mean to you today? Maybe today you're here outside of Christ. Maybe you're sitting there going, why do they make such a big deal about Christmas at church? We can laugh at Him. You can mock Christians. You can reject Christ. Or can I share something better with you? You can come and fall at His feet today. Because Jesus came to earth, He died on the cross for you to take your sins and wash them away. Christ took your place. He bore our wrath. And you can come to Him where you can not only say Christ forever, but you can worship Him and be with Him for all of eternity. What a wonderful choice. And a choice that He gives to you to accept that free gift of salvation. Friends, today, if you have never accepted, I hope today you'd say, I want to know more about this Christ. The one who created all things. The one who created me. The one who holds all things together. And the one who is the purpose of my life, to glorify, to worship Him. For everybody else tonight, maybe you're already a believer, I want you to know that in this Christmas season, it's a reminder that Christ is an everyday thing. That Christ isn't just one time of year. It's not just at Christmas or just at Easter. Christ is so essential to your everyday life. He holds all things together. He is our peace. He is all that we need. Hang on to Him. Hold on to Him. Worship Him every day. Live for Him every day. And may, as our choir sang, this Christmas forever, amen, be a reality in your life. Would you pray with me? Lord our God, thank You so much for this evening. A great time of worship and praise. A great time to see our Savior who has come to the earth. Lord, it is something to celebrate every day. Not just that He came, but that He died on the cross. He was buried and He rose again the third day according to Your word. Lord, this is our Savior. The one who provides everything we need, the one that we need each and every day to live, to walk, and to serve Christ. Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Christmas that tells us the story of when God became a man, when Jesus came to earth for us. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Jeff.
So before we sing a final hymn and are dismissed, this is the time of year that we honor our